Okay, very good. Today is Daf Lamed Vav. We're on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis by the Mishnah. Today's show is sponsored by Avram Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen. We start the Mishnah. So now we've continuing on the day. Now the first thing that the Kohen Gadol did after he went to the mikvah and after he brought the Karban Tamid was he brought his own par. This par was mechaper for himself and for all the and for his family and for all the kahanim for any tumah issues that came up over the year. The kahanim were the most prone to have tumah problems because they're the most present there in the base of mikvah. They're the ones that were involved most with the karbanos and being there. So they're the ones most susceptible to tumah. So there's a special karban brought just for himself and for all the kahanim. So Bolo Eitzel Paro, he came to his par. He came there. Uparo Hayu Ulam Vla Mizbeach. Par was situated between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Ulam was the entranceway into the Kodesh. The Mizbeach was 22 amos separating the two. He brought the par. Rosho Ladarom. Head of the par was faced south, and it was turned to the west. So it was facing. It was in a north-south direction, but it was facing west. The Hakohen Bimdrach, and the Kohen stood in the east. Upon of Lamayr, his head was also facing toward the west. The Samach Shteyad of Olav, and he put his two hands on it, on the animal. Umitzvada, and he confessed. This is what he said: Ona Hashem, please Hashem. Now, obviously, he did not say the word Hashem. It's a machlokas what he did say. Did he say Aleph Dalav Nun Yud? Did he say the Shem HaMeforesh? Did he say a greater name? It's a machlokas. But he certainly didn't say the word Hashem. The Mishnah writes the word Hashem because the Mishnah's not writing anything different. The Mishnah's not going to write what exactly he said. But it's clear he didn't say the word Hashem. He said an actual name of Hashem, not just a euphemism name. Most Mefarshim say that he said the Shem Havaya or Hashem HaMeforesh, not Aleph Dalet Nun Yod. That's the most, especially in the early times, maybe after Shem HaTzadik, there are Mefarshim that said then it stopped and they would just say Hashem's name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yod. Which is what we say today. We never say the Shem Havaya. We never say the Shem. We don't even know what they are, really. We never say those. But in the times of the on Yom Kippur, it would be mentioned three times here in this Mishnah.
When we do the on Yom Kippur, when we say the
Avodah,
they say
right. So that's a whole discussion. Why it says in the Machzer Hashem, right? But they
follows
the Mishnah, right? But they're certainly not what went on by the Kahana. That certainly did not go on by the Kahana. They didn't say the word Hashem. They said a real name of Hashem. Avisi, we have sinned. Avisi means we have sinned intentionally. Poshati, we have sinned rebelliously. V'chatasi, and we have sinned b'shogeg. All three. L'fikach, therefore, ani ubesi, me and my house, ana Hashem, we ask you Hashem, kapernoth, forgive us, la'avonos, for our intentional sins, la'pashayim, for our rebellious sins, v'lachatoyim, and for our unintentional sins. Shavisi, Shabashati, Shavachatazal of Anacha, because they have sinned the following ways before you. Ani Ubesi, me and my household. Kakasuv, Taras Moshe, Azecha. Kib Hyomazay, Chaper, Alech, Notaris, Sne Hashem. There's another word Hashem there in that Pasuk. Dot. You finish the Pasuk. And the Hin Onan Achrav, and they would answer back, Baruch Shem Kavod Machuz Alel Mvoed. Why? On the base of Mikdash, there's no Amen. It's Baruch Shem Kavod Machuz Alel Mvoed. This Mishnah, believe it or not, leads to a huge machlokas. When we duchen, so when we duchen and the kahanim say Hashem, everybody says Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. It's a big machlokas, or that's appropriate. Some say it's not appropriate because the only time you ever say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is in the context of a bracha. And if it's not a bracha, it doesn't start Baruch Atah Hashem Yivrecha Hashem Vishmrecha. It's not a bracha. It's a blessing in a broader sense. It doesn't have the shame of a bracha, and you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Most people, I believe, do say it, and it's based on this Mishnah. Because this Mishnah says that when the Kahanim would say this tefillah, this vidui, everybody would answer, Baruch Shem Kavod Machuz Alel Mvoed. Hashem's name is being said, and they're answering that. It's not a bracha. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is no worse than Baruch Shem Kavod Machuz Alel Mvoed. It's no less, it's no more, it's probably less. Right? And therefore, the people that learn from this Mishnah, it's a Farish Mishnah. You You can answer Karis, you could respond to Hashem's name when it's not in the context of a bracha. So the ones who argue on that, that's what the Pichadosh says, that's what I think most people practice. They say Baruchu Shmo during Duchening. The ones who don't, they're forced to hold that the name here is Hashem HaMeforesh. Hashem HaMeforesh, that's different. That's already much more special. For that already they would answer. But for an ordinary name of Hashem, instead during Duchening, they would not respond Baruchu Shmo. I think the practice is to say it. But it was a big machlokas achronim. Every time. It was said three times. Because you said Hashem's name three times. Right. So that's how this machlokas gets off the ground. So the following Gemara is not difficult. The art school has a very excellent pictures just to help understand what's going on here in the upcoming machlokas. Man Shematle, who's the one who holds that the Amar bein ha'ulam la'mizbeach tzafon, that between the ulam and the mizbeach, if you're just walk into the kodesh, you hit the mizbeach first, and then further on down is the ulam. So who's the one who holds? Now we know, Rashi reminds us, we know that the mizbeach, that the karbanos, chatas, ola, and asham, all have to be in the tzafon. I'm sorry. Yes, chatas, ola, and asham all have to be in the tzafon. They all have to be in the north. Since this par has a din of a chatos, it obviously is brought in the north. Now, the ulam and the space between the ulam and the mizbeach has to then be the north. So who says that? If you have a bird's eye view of the azara, the mizbeach is right smack in the middle. So you could find it to be a drop in the north, that's okay. But who said that to the left of the Mizbeach, as you approach the Ulam, looking at it from a bird's eye view, the art school has good pictures, who said that's north? That's really west. Who said that's north? But the Mishnah says that's where it would take place. It would take place right there. So, who holds like that? So there's going to be a three-way machlokus about what north means. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ber Shimoni. It's the Tana Rabbi Elazar ber Shimon. He's the one who holds it. Where, how do you know? The Tana, because you have a Brisa. Ezehu Tzafon, what's north? And that all these Kabanos have to be in the north. What's north? Mikir Shel Mizbeach, from the edge of the Mizbeach, the top of the Mizbeach, the wall of the Mizbeach, Mitzafone V'ad Kotel HaAzara, From the northern wall of the Mizbeach, all the way to the Azara, all the way to the wall of the Azara, Ukineged Kol HaMizbeach Kulo, and the whole length of that Mizbeach is Tzafon, that's north. That's according to the first Shita. So you have the Mizbeach is a square. The northern wall of the Mizbeach spans 32 Amos. Those 32 Amos going all the way to the wall of the Azara, the back wall, that's all considered north. Anywhere there you want to do it is fine. That's fine. That's the first Shita. Div Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rosh Rabbi Shimon said, he's Mosif, he agrees that's Tzafon. But there's more Tzafon than that. He's Mosif, Af Bein Ho Ulam V'la Mizbeach. Even the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Which is exactly what our Mishnah said. Which is why the Gemara said, he's the author of our Mishnah. Even from the Ulam, from the Mizbeach to the Ulam, all that space, it's also considered the north. Therefore, you're allowed to check the vidud, and Rashi points out that the slaughtering of this animal took place right where the vidud took place. So don't think that they took the vidud one place and they moved to the north. No, it took place in the same spot. Rashi says they learned that out from Sukkim and later on in the Masechta. So it took place in the same area. So wherever the vidud was, that's where the shechita was. So it was in the north. This is Rabbi Elazar ber Shimon's Shita, that the north didn't include just the area corresponding to the northern part of the Mizbeach, but even more area. For Rabbi Mosif, Rabbi added on, also, Af Makom Drisas Ragla Kahanim, even the Azara, the Ezes Kahanim, before you reach the Mizbeach, and Af Makom Drisas Ragla Yisrael, and even the Makom where the Yisraelim walk, the Ezes Yisrael, which was 11 amos wide, even that area is also considered a Tzafon, and you can even check the, and the vidya can even have taken place there. So basically, according to Rebbe, almost the whole area of the Azara is considered Tzafon. Almost the whole thing. So the Gemara asks, oh, Avo min ha-Khalifos, vilifnim, but from the chambers of the Khalifos, Khalif is a knife, Rashi says, why is it chalaf a knife? We always call it, when they do shechita, and the knife used for shechita is called a chalaf. Where'd that word come from? How does chalaf come to knife? So Rashi says, chalaf is knife in Arabic. So that's how I got the name. So they used to call the chamber of the Khalifa, the chamber of the knife. Where were they? The ulam was a very long entranceway. Much longer than the actual heichal. It was much bigger in the front. The two extreme ends of that room, of that chamber, of that entranceway, the two extreme ends had two rooms, one on each side. Those are called the chambers of the knives. That's where the Kahanim kept the knives for the Shechitas and everything that they used in the Beis HaMikdash. Those are called the chambers of the knives. So the area behind them, everybody agrees that's certainly not the north. Meaning you're not in the Heichal, you're outside the Heichal, but you're far away. Rashi says you can't even see the Mizbeach from there because the Ulam sticks out and you can't see it. Right? It blocks your vision. So that certainly can't be the north. But the Pasuk says, Al Yerech HaTzafon, on the northern side. So the whole discussion is, how far away can you be and still be considered north? But you have to be able to see the Mizbeach. So if you're way up there, you're way up in the northern part of the Azara, but you're behind the room of the knife, you can't even see the Mizbeach, that's not north. No one holds that's north. So anyway, Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon is exactly our Mishnah, which is why the Gemara says that he's a Tan of our Mishnah. But Abba Menach Chalifos V'lefneim HaKol Modim Shepasol. Everybody agrees that's Pasol. What? Like I said, you can't even see the Mizbeach from there. So now the Gemara asks, so fine, so we've established that Rabbi Elazar is the author of our Mishnah. Because he said the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, which is exactly what our Mishnah said. So the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon he below Rabbi. So since the Gemara said that, maybe Rebbe's not included either. Rebbe agreed that's the same area too. Rebbe agreed that Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon's area is good area. He agreed that that's also Tzafon. He is even more inclusive, and he even said the Azara of the Yisraelim and the Ezra's Kahanim. That's also included. But he agreed with Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon. But since the Gemara says that the Tana of our Mishnah is only Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon, it can't be Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Lema, that's not Rebbe. So the Gemara says, no, Afilu Tema Rebbe. You can even say it is Rebbe. The Rebbe, Hashta Ad Rebbe Yosef. So right, the Gemara is assuming that Rebbe, when Rebbe said his Shita to include area, the other area, more farther away from the Mizbeach, he wasn't including Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon. He wasn't including Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon. He just held the first Tana's area and his area, not Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon's, which makes no sense. So the Gemara said, it's not Rebbe. So the Gemara said, no, Hashta Ad Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda Mosif. He adds on to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yehuda Ad Elazar Rebbe Shimon Lo Mosif. The area closer to the Heichal, he's not adding on, he doesn't agree with that. That doesn't make any sense. But the area further away from the Heichal, he is adding, but the area closer to the Heichal, he's not adding, that's not considered Tzafon. That's very difficult. Right, so the Gemara says, no, you're right. Anan Hachikamrinan, this was our question. If Rebbe is the author of our Mishnah, Rebbe says the whole thing is okay. The whole thing is Tzafon. So the Nukme Bekuli Azara. Then just say that the Mizbeach, that the carbon of the power of the Kohen Gadol had to be brought anywhere in the Azara. Anywhere in the Azara is up for grabs. Why are you singling out the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach? The whole thing is called Tzafon. The whole thing is good. Elamai. So what do you want to say? Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon he. That's only Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. So they have the same question. V'nukmei bein mizbeach lel kosel. So make it between the mizbeach and the wall. Why are you making it over there? Why are you making it so far away from where normally the normal karbanos tzafon are not brought here? They're brought on top of the wall. On top of the, between the wall of the mizbeach and the wall of the Azara. Why are you bringing it over here all the way far away? Even according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, that's a good question. So the Gemara answers, Elamai Yitzchol Amei Mamishim Cholshet the Kohen Gadol. Because you don't want to make the Kohen Gadol walk so far. He's fasting, it's Yom Kippur, he's up all night. Right, we all had it through. So we want to be easy on him. So we're trying to make it as convenient as possible. So do it right there, right next to the Mizbeach. You can sprinkle the dam right there. You don't have to walk who knows how many hours. So for Rebbe too, same issue. So it could be that Rebbe's included here at the Tana. It could be. The Gemara doesn't resolve it. And the whole reason why they were singling out this area, even though they agree there's much more area you could do it, was because of the whole, because of Kohen Gadol. They wanted to spare the Kohen Gadol having to walk so far. I'm not sure. Not sure. We didn't get there yet. No, we have to carry it from far over there. No matter where it was, you have to carry it all the way here anyway. So if it's to carry it here, so then do it here. That's all. So, okay. So why the north? Why does the Mizbeach have to be, why does the Karvan have to be, what's special with the north? Why so Ma'akev, the Tzafon? So we said, last week, we were discussing the line of the Gemara that Hihuri Avera is Kasha Me'Avera. So we had said, one of the reasons was that Ola is, but Ola is Mechaper for your thoughts, says the Yerushalmi. Right? And Ola is not eaten. So you see, it's worse than every other Karvan gets to be eaten. This one doesn't get to be eaten, so it's worse. So the same idea, the Yerushalmi says that an Ola is not eaten at all. An Ola is the only carbon that's not eaten at all. Why? So, similar idea, because the Gemara says that how does a carbon affect Kapara? So the Gemara says very simple. You sprinkle the Dam, and then it says, the Kohanim Ochlin, the Baalim is Chaparin. The Kohanim eat the carbon, and the Baal gets Kapara. And we know that when a Baal brought a carbon chatos or an ashram, had to specify what sin it was for. So by the Kohanim eating it, they were affecting atonement for that sin. But when it comes to an Ola, it's all in your mind. So the Kohanim can't eat it. The Kohanim can't eat it because they don't know what sin it's for. So therefore, it's another added layer about the fact that it affects for your sins and it affects your sins that no one knows about. Therefore, it's not eaten. What does that have to do with Tzafon? Because Tzafon is the word Tzafon means north. It also means hidden. So everything about an Ola is hidden. So it's all in the north. It's all in the hidden, so to speak, hidden part. What about a Chatos? Chatos also brought in the Tzafon. So I think this is the Shemi Shmuel says a Chatos is also, you know, it all Chatos is what? It's not amazing. Did it be Shogeg? It's also in your mind. It's all in your mind. If you would have known, if you would have realized it, if you would have learned, you wouldn't have done it. So it's also all because of the hidden recesses of your mind is prompting you to bring this carbon. That's why one of the reasons why it says Tzafon. The Sasema has a similar idea that the Tzafon also means hidden. It's your hidden. It's your, all your hidden ideas. It's all your hidden thoughts that cause you to do averos. Therefore, it's part of the Tzafon. He says it's the same idea with smicha. Why did you smicha? Why did you put your hands on the animal we're going to have right now? Because you're converting your thoughts into action, and by converting your thoughts into action, that's how you affect atonement. You place your hands on the animal and you transfer the thoughts from yourself to the animal. There's a Gemara that says in Baba Basra that the north, the Tzafon, the Ruach HaTzafon, whatever this means, is not enclosed. It's free, it's open space. So the Meshachachma says a similar idea that represents Bechira, which is free and unencumbered. We can do whatever we want in this world. We have total Bechira and it's not constrained. At the Akedah, which apparently, I don't know how he knows this, but the Akedah was done, the Akedah was attempted to be done in the Tzafon, in the northern part of the Har Moria, to try to like restrain our Bechira, hone it down, only for good. And that's why whenever we bring a carbon, we specifically pick the same spot to demonstrate that we're honing our Bechira, and it's not as free as the Tzafon really is. That's the Meshech Chachma. These are ideas about Tzafon. Okay, so back to Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rosh Aladara upon of Lamayruv. So the Gemara says, Hechim Ishkachasla. How is it possible for an animal to be facing two directions? How can it be facing south and facing west? So the animal itself was facing north-south, and the head was facing west. So the Gemara says, very simple. Amalei Rav, Be'okumash Rosho. They would turn its head, they would turn the head of the animal to face it west. So the animal was facing north-south, but the head of the animal was facing the Kodesh, the Ulam. Right? So the Gemara says, "V'nukme lahedya." So if you want the animal to be facing to Ulam, so have the whole animal face to Ulam. Why are you having it face north south? So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaya, no gzeira shema yarbitz galalim." Maybe it'll go to the bathroom, and if it goes to the bathroom, we don't want the rear end of the cow facing the mizbeach. That's a big slap in the face to the mizbeach. That the rear end is facing there, and it can just go to the bathroom there. So therefore, we turn it north-south, where the rear end is not facing anything, it's facing the back wall of the Azara, and then they turn its head toward the Ulam, which is the preferred thing. The Ritva says, although there's a one of the nishim that not mentioned that or always occurred was no animal ever went to the bathroom. That never happened. However, ain't talking on an eighth. We don't rely on that, and therefore they would have it face north south, but have the head face to the ulam.
But that's a good point. That was the case, but when initially they said.
Right. So they took measure. They took measures. They took measures to not to embarrass the mizbeach and have the back end facing the mizbeach. It happens to me, by the way, no animal ever went to the bathroom. That happens to me.
But
coincidentally.
But the initial situation, even if it won't face the mizbeach, but
it
just goes to the bathroom.
What could you do? If it goes to the bathroom, it's an animal. What could you do? But they would just try to, at least it's, that the opening of the rear end shouldn't face the mizbeach. That's all they wanted to avoid. If it goes to the bathroom. So they would face it in another direction, so it shouldn't be facing anything that was so Kodesh. Happens to be, it never happened. Side point, happens that it never happened. So, Tana Rabbanan. Ketzad Somech HaZevach. How did the Zevach work? How did that work? How did this work? What happened over here? What's Shmicha? Omeid B'tzafon, he would stand in the north, Upanav B'mayrav, and he would face the west, Vasomech Omeid B'mizrach, and that was the animal. And the person who was doing Shmicha would stand in the east, Upanav L'mayrav, and he would face west, Umaniach Shteyadav Ben Shtey Karnos, he would place his hands between the two horns of the animal, Shel Zevach, of the animal about to be slaughtered, and there couldn't be a chatitza. When you do smicha, you can't wear gloves. You can't be a bonnet on the animal's head. Nothing. You have to face the animal directly. Umizvada al achatos, and you will, and your mizvada, you confess the sins. Chatos avon chatos, v'al osham avon osham. If it's a chatos for a chatos, osham osham. And then the Gemara says, v'al ola. What if it's an ola? Avon leket chichul peo maitaroni. Those following Averis is what you were machaper. That's what you ask forgiveness for. Which is something that we never heard before. We never heard that. So the Maitzer Oni is a machlokas, Rashi talks about whether it should be there or not. Because Rashi said there could be that there was a vidui that was said every 3 years on Erev Pesach, right? I did all the halachas correctly about all the Maitzers and Trumos. So there's a machlokas whether Maitzer Oni was included in that. So anyway, you had a vidui for that. You didn't have to do it for the Ola. That's Tanakam over here, that it was for these following Averos. The Gemara is going to explain what the Machlokas is about. Divrei Rabbi Yosi HaGalili. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Ein ola ba, ela al asei v'alos asei shinitak lasei. It only comes for an asei and a lav shinitak lasei. Right? If I didn't eat matzah, if I didn't put on tefillin, or I didn't have Avera that has a lav shinitak that I could fix with an asei. Like I stole, so I can return what I stole. So there's no malchus on that. There's no other punishment. That's the key, by the way. There's no other punishment. Because for every other avera, there's punishment. So you don't need an ola. But here, there's no punishment for an asei. If I don't put on tefillin, I don't get punished. There's no punishment. Bezdin doesn't do anything to me. Right? And if I do a lav, shinitik la asei, there's no punishment. There's no malchus. So for these averos, you have to bring a carbon ola. And that's what you're mizvada when you bring the ola. Right, then Yerushalmi says it also includes thoughts. It also includes thoughts. What? Right. So Mila and Karpet Pesach are exceptions. I don't know if you bring an ola for them. Could you get courage? I don't know. So what are Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva arguing about? Like, where'd like a chicken pear come from? So by my coming, like, what's the machlokas about? So Amar Rav Yirmiya says, you know what the machlokas is about? Bilav dinavela kamiflagi. They're arguing about the lav of nevela, because the Torah says, don't eat a nevela. Don't eat a nevela. Then the Torah says, Rashi points out, it says, leger titnena. Give it to the ger. So as the Gemara is going to say right now, how do you give it to the ger? You already ate it. You ate it already. How can you give it to him? Right? So what does that mean? What does that mean, give it to the ger? So it obviously means before. Before you eat it, don't eat it. Give it to the ger. You're not allowed to eat nevela. Give it to the ger. Give it to the neighbor. Give it to the goy. So belav de nevela kamiflagi. So they're arguing about this idea that's found by nevela, which is also found by lechet shikhempeya, which is what? Rabbi Akiva savar lav ma'al yahu. This is a genuine lav. The lav the Torah says don't eat nevela. You eat nevela, you're going to get malchus. You want to give it to a ger? You want to give it to a goy? You want to give it to one? Fine, so go do that. But that's not a lav shenet glase. How can there be a lav shenitik l'asei? You already ate it. You can't fix it. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, you get Malkus for that. You eat an Avela, you get Malkus. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Safar, no, lav ma'al yehu. It's not a real lav. Why not? Since the Torah has an out what you could do, ain't a chanami, you can't do it realistically because you already ate it. Nevertheless, as Rashi says, this is not an ordinary lav of like Laksaksam Shabadisho. Don't muzzle. All the lavs are learned out from that. That's the prime example of a lav. Since there's a way to fix it, mentioned in the Pasuk, even though it's mentioned after you can't do that option. Once you do the Aveira, you have no option. Normally, if you steal, so give it back. That's all. You did a lav, now you can do an Aseh, fix it, give it back. Here, right, the Torah says, don't leave Noser overnight. And if you leave it overnight, you go ahead and burn it in the morning. So you have a lav, and then you have an Aseh to fix it, to rectify it. Here, you have a lav, but you can't rectify it, because the Aveira is to eat it. So once you ate it, how do you give it away? You can't. It's in your body. However, Rabbi Yosef really holds, it's very unusual, since the Torah mentions it, that's enough of a reason that it's considered a lav shentik last day. And therefore, you would not get Malkus. That's what Rabbi Yosef really holds. Very difficult, very difficult pizza. That's what he holds. Believe it or not, the same thing is found by Lekha Chichem Peyer. The Torah says, by Lekha Chichem Peyer, don't do it. And then the Torah says, and give it away. So the Torah says, after you did the act, give it away. So Rabbi Yosef Lili says, you see from here, just like by Nevela, it's enough, lav shenit glase. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not. It's a real, genuine lav. If you take the lekha for yourself, you chayav a lav. You chayav malchus for that. By the way, it's something you should do. You should give it away. And if you don't, you get malchus. You did an aveira. According to Yosef Galili, no, you can give it away. Therefore, you don't get Malkus. Just like by Nevela, so too by Lekha Chichem Peyer. That's what they're arguing about. Yosef Galili agrees that Aseis and Lav Shizik Aseis is what an Ola comes for. Does it also include Lekha Chichem Peyer? That's the Machlokas. Yosef Galili says yes, because it's like a Lav Shizik Aseis. Rabbi Akiva says absolutely not. That's Rabbi Yirmiyah's opinion of what the Machlokas is about. Abaya Amar, Abaya says, it's very similar. The Kuli Alma, Lav de Nevela, Lav Ma'al Yahavi. Everybody holds that it's a genuine Lav. Come on, everybody agrees it's a genuine Lav. You eat Nevela, you're going to get Malkus. There's no way you could realistically say that that's a Lav Shenetik Lav say after you already ate it. Even though the Pasuk mentions about giving it away. But you can't, it's impossible. The only way you can give it away is before you do the Aveira. Before you do the Aveira, you did no Aveira. So that everyone agrees to that. Come on, everyone agrees to that. V'hacha, what's the Machlokas? B'tazov Kamifugi. They're arguing about the idea of leaving it for the poor people. Lekha Chichem Peyer have to be left for the poor people. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Tazov Meikara Mashma. Tazov means leave it for the poor. But let's say you didn't leave it for the poor. So you took it. And as someone comes, you know, you can fix what you did, you can leave it for the poor. No, that's not true. There's no Lav Shinitik Lase by Lekha Chichem Peyer. Once you did the Aveira, you did the Aveira. You want to give tzedakah, so go ahead and give tzedakah all you want. But the Lekha Chichem Peyer were violated. Because it doesn't work backwards. It only works forwards. Before you, when you're gleaning, when you're harvesting, leave Lekha Chichem Peyer. Don't take it for yourself. But if you took it for yourself, you can't rectify it. Therefore, it's not a lav shenetik lase, it's a genuine lav. Rabbi Yosef Galili Safar, no, Safar Hashta Mashmi. Even after you took it into your house, and then someone tells you, by the way, you know, I really think you should give, yeah, okay, fine, I'll give it. That rectifies it. If it rectifies it, it's a lav shenetik lase, and therefore there's no malchus. That's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Yosef Galili. Fine. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Bizvadeh, how do you say the vidui? Avisi pashati vichatasi. Avisi, first he mentioned sins of intent. Pashati is sins of rebellion, and chatasi is unintentional. That's the order. It's a very funny order. V'chein b'si'er mishtaleach, so too by the si'er mishtaleach, who omer you say, v'ezvada Allah v'ezkal avonos b'nei Yisrael, v'ezkal, first you mention avonos, which is intentional sins, v'ezkal pish'ehem, then you mention mered, rebellious sins, l'chal chatasam, and then you mention your unintentional sins. V'chein b'moshe hu omer, and by Moshe said the same thing, nase avon u'pesha v'chata'a. Right? First you mention avon, then pesha, and then chet. That's the order. Divir Rav Meir. That's what Rav Meir says. The Chacham say no. What are Avonos? Avonos is Elu Hazadonos. Avonos are intentional. V'chenu Omer, Hikaretz Tikaretz HaNefesh Hahi Avona Ba. But you do an intentional sin, you get Karetz. Pasuk over there in Devarim. What's Pishayim? Pishayim is Elu HaMiradim. Those are the rebellious ones. Rebellious sins. It's worse than intentional. It's rebellion. V'chenu Omer, Melech Moav Pasha Bi. Right, Melech Moav sinned against me. V'Omer, Oz Ti Pasha Livne Be'ez Hahi Lakal. Right, and Livne rebelled. So you see that Pesha is a lashon of rebellion. And Chatosam, Elu Hashkagos. Those are the ones that are done unintentionally. V'cheinu Omer, B'nefesh Kisechta Bishkaga. Somebody doesn't sin intentionally. So the Chacham continue. And by the way, Remeir doesn't agree. Remeir doesn't disagree that those are the three. He has a different order. Umeachar she'ezvad al hazedonos. Once you confess to the ones you did intentionally, the al ha hamuradim, and the ones who did it rebelliously, chazer umezvad al hashkagos. But now you're gonna ask forgiveness for the unintentional. That doesn't make any sense. Such a strange order. So what's Remeir have an order like that? So the Marsha says, because Remeir is saying the sins that you do in the order of what you know you did. What you know you did wrong, first of all, you know you did your intentional ones. And then your rebellious ones are fewer. People rebel, you know, normal people have fewer rebellious sins, but the unintentional, they are so numerous and they're so varied, no one even can keep track of them. But those will last. That's Remeir's order. The Chacham say, once you ask for forgiveness for all your intentional things, now you're going to ask for unintentional. It doesn't make any sense. Therefore, Ella, Kachayim Izvada. This is the order. Chatasi Avishu Fashati Lefonecha. Right? First you mention the unintentional, then the intentional, and then the Mered. That's the order. Lefonecha. Ani Uvesi. Right? Me and my house. V'chein B'davidu Omer, and B'david it says, Chatanu Im Avosenu. We sinned Chatanu with our fathers. So, one second. How do you sin unintentionally with your fathers? Right? What's the shot in that? You sinned unintentionally with your fathers? It's unintentional. So for that, so since it's Shiva Sabbatanos, we can already look at Megillat Eicha. So in the last parak of Eicha, listen to what it says. It says, Parak Zayin, Parak Hei. Apostle Zayin, Parak Hei. Havoseinu chatanu. Our fathers have sinned. V'einam, and they're no longer around. V'anachnu, and us, avonoseihem savalnu. We're suffering for their sins. So what does that mean? So we saw the philosopher says, you know what it means? We know that, first of all, there's a general idea that you're punished for the sin of your father if you follow in his footsteps. Right? That's the Gemara says that. But here, it's hate. It's unintentional. So why are you punished for unintentional? So we saw the philosopher says, you know why? Because your father didn't teach you. So if your father didn't teach you, you're the same Amma Aret that he was, and you're following, you're doing hate, but it's his fault. Okay, you could learn yourself, true, but it's his fault in a way. He didn't teach you the right path. So that's why you're included with your father, even though we're talking about unintentional. Had you had the better education, you wouldn't be in this position. So it's all connected, even though it's unintentional. Anyway, this is the passage that David has, that they quote by David, to say that unintentional come first. Then it mentions intentional. Then v'hershanu. Then it mentions the merit, the rush, the rishus, the merit.
So the sin of the father is that whatever sin it was,
the
sin of the father was that he didn't teach you.
Right, the fact was that he didn't teach you. Therefore, you have the same sins as him.
So you're not suffering for his sin, whatever he did.
Well, the sin is that he didn't teach you.
You're suffering because you weren't taught, and now you're
exactly. So that was a sin on your father's part,
right?
And that carries over to you, right?
You're not responsible for
whatever sin. No, unless the Gemara says, unless you copy them. Right? V'chein b'shlomhu omer, b'shlomhu it's that same thing, chatanu, we've sinned, v'irshinu, v'imradnu, right? Right, the order is unintentional, more serious. V'chein b'danilu omer, chatanu, we sinned, unintentional, v'avinu, intentional, v'irshanu, umradnu, girsuzer, and then he's had the merit. That's the order. Ella, Mahush Amar Moshe Nosi Avon V'Pesha V'Chata. What about that? We're going to say it now by Slichus. What about that? What about Moshe's order? So the Gemara says, Amar Moshe, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, Moshe wasn't giving you the order of how you should sit, how you should do vidur. It's not the order. What Moshe said was, Moshe said to Hashem, Ribbono Shalom, B'shashi Yisrael chotel lefenecha, when they sin before you, v'osin tshuva, and they do tshuva, asei lehem zedonos kishkagos. Make the zedonos like shkagos. That's all it's saying. Make their intentional ones like unintentional. And therefore what? And unintentional, nobody has a tie on that. It's unintentional. That's very easy to get forgiven for that. So make them unintentional. That's all he's saying. So before we go on, so what do we do? We ask Hashem for forgiveness for even sins we did b'mered, even rebellion, even out of rebellion, we ask Hashem for forgiveness. So the Chofetz Chaim says in Shaar Tavuna, so if that's how we treat, if that's how we want Hashem to treat us, right? That's how we should treat other people. Unbelievable. He says, Ach, Mishu Rota Shekosh Baruch Hu Yimcholo Afilo Al Peshav. You want Hashem to forgive you for your merit, for your rebellion, that's what you want? Then Yizar Gam Kein Shulo Yakbid Klal Afilo Yedei Bevadash Asa Chavir Negda Bemerit. And even if you know your friend sinned in merit against you, right? With merit, with rebellion against you, nevertheless, forgive him. Ubamal Shazeh Nikra Pesha. Even that Aver is called a Pesha, Kimamor Ben Yumalam Advav Mabez, right? Peshom Il Hamiradim. Nevertheless, you forgive him, that's the best way to get Hashem to forgive you. Unbelievable. Right? Unbelievable. Vizeo Shadaiku Lami Nosi Avon Lamisha Avra Al Pesha. Right. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says about that. It's a take home message as we enter the 3 weeks and talk about Tzinas Chinam. Okay. So
there was a whole discussion.
So that we said that was only about when it comes to the Torah. He can't be a veteran. He can't let things slide when people slight the Torah. That's what we said. But himself, of course, he should let it go. That's what we said. People belittle the Torah. He has to stand on principle, not himself. That's what we said it meant. Right. Okay. So, Amar, listen to this. Amar Rab Bar Shmuel. Amar Rab Halacha Ketivi Chachamim. We pass on the Chachamim, and we say the order of Chatasi Avisi Pashati. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Yachad Rab Malacha Karabim, pass on Karabim, who passes the Chacham over a mayor. So the Gemara says, no, Mazim, I would say, Mestar Batai Medir, a mayor. Where mayor's really right. Why? To come Messiah Lekra de Moshe. Because you have a Pasuk from Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't that beat out? Hey, okay, you got out of it. You said it's a drasha, it's an agarata, that he's saying to Hashem, you should consider our sins like unintentional. But still, the Pasuk says what it says. Right? Kamash Malam, we don't say that. We don't hold like we're mayor. But listen to the following story. Hahu, the Nachis, Kabet the Rabba. There was somebody who got down for the Amid in Rabba Shul. It was Yom Kippur Rashi, he says. But Ava Kippur Mayor. He did like a mayor. He said the order of a mayor. So Amalei. So Rabba said to the Chazan, Shavak the Rabban of Avadata Kira Mayor. You left the Rabban and you hold like a mayor? So Amalei, Kira Mayor, severely, I hold like a mayor. Kediksim, Besefer, Rise of the Moshe. Because the Pasuk said, but the Moshe Rabbeinu's Pasuk said it that way. That's what they're doing. And there's the two dots here. Rabbi doesn't answer back. Yeah, but we don't hold like with Meir. Rabbi doesn't say anything. So there's a huge machlokas. What we do, we practice, we don't hold like with Meir. There were many, many, many achronim who held you should hold like with Meir. Say it that order. Say it in the order of your yediyah. I know about my sins. I know about my unintentional. I don't even know what they are. There's so many. That's the order. Many, many held like with Meir. First of all, the Stam Mishnah we start off with holds like a mayor. And we generally hold Stam Mishnah's Kahalacha. Plus, Rabbi didn't say back to him, you did a mistake. Rabbi thought, hey, it's pretty decent, that's pretty decent what he's saying. So the big machlokas, what to say, we happen to pass it not like a mayor. Right? When we say our vidui on Yom Kippur, we say the order of Chatasi Avisi Poshati. But it's very interesting that it was a dispute that went on for a very, very long time. Even it's in the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, they have machlokas what the preferred method is, what to say. Okay, we have a few minutes. We can do the next one. It's very easy. Tanar Rabbanan, the Chiper, where it says that when the Kohen Gadol would say, ask for kapara over this animal, the kapara is devar b'kasa b'daber. He would ask for kapara with words, meaning he would say vidur, confession. Ata omer kapara is devarim. You say that it means he would say it with words. O eino el kapara is damim. Maybe it means he would say it with the bloods, sprinkle the bloods, which we know is always the best kapara. So the Gemara says, no, Hari Anu Don Amik Gzera Shava. Nemar Khan Kapara, Venemar Lahalon Kapara. And it says over there Kapara. Where's over there? But it's Yer Mishtalech. But Yer Mishtalech, there is no Dam. It's thrown off the cliff. There is no Dam. Ma Kapara Hamur Basir Dvarim. So the Kapara by this ear can only be Dvarim. There's nothing else it could be. There is no Dam. Af kapara ha'amura b'par devarim. So too, the word, the kapara mentioned over here by the par, must be referring to words. Must be a confession. V'yim nafshcha lomar. And if you want to get rid of this kal v'chomer, I'm sorry, if you want to get rid of this gzeirah shava, and say, hari omer, if you want to get rid of the kal v'chomer, the gzeirah shava, the Gemara is going to ask you in a second, how could you do that? If you're going to want to get rid of this gzeirah shava, hari omer, but it says, the hikri of Aaron is para chazah shalo, the chiper ba'adu uva'ad beisel. He will make a kapara. Va'adayin lo nishchat. It wasn't slaughtered yet. So what's the kapara? The kapara must mean dvarim. It can't mean anything else. This kapara takes place before you even slaughter. It has to be talking about a confession. Right? Hapar. So, lo nishchat hapar. Now, so look, fine. So it must be talking about words. Now the Gemara says, "My im nafshach lomar." What does the Torah mean? What does the Gemara mean when it said, "And if you want to get rid of this gzeirah shava"? What do you mean if you want to get rid of it? So what the Gemara meant was, "V'chi tema neilif mitzir hanasha b'fnim." Maybe the gzeirah shava should be not between the par and the seir mishtaleach, but it should be between the par and the seir b'fnim, which did have dam being thrown, right? Because we know that when we make a gzeirah shava, there's a mesorah like. What the general consensus is, there were words out there that they knew that had a Mesorah were available for Gzeirah Shava. There were words available, and they would make Gzeirah Shavas, and that had to be done by Rebbe to Rebbe to Rebbe. However, it could be that the words that were available was another word of Kapara written by the Seir Bifnim, and that is referring to Dam. So who's to say it's referring to Dvar? Who's to say that Gzeirah Shava is correct? So you're right, you want to say that? I still have a reason why this is talking about Kapara, why it's talking about words, why it's a confession, because it wasn't shechted yet, so it can't be talking about Dam. Right? But it says over here, it says over here, and there is no shechita yet, there can't be Dam yet. So the only thing it must be talking about Dvarim. That ends the daf, and tomorrow we're back. Seth.